Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, the host of the new Contemporary Lifestyle Radio Show for Women Over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking with two women experts on all aspects of marketing, especially in this digital age. Emily Critella is a marketing strategist and copywriter who helps her clients create and share online stories which make people take action. As owner of Cursive Content Marketing, Emily provides consulting, copywriting services, and workshops to independent schools, colleges, and universities. She is also a master storyteller to her 5-year-old and 3-year-old daughter. Emily Harris is a content marketing strategist at Content Harmony with an extensive background in content marketing for B2C and B2B companies. At Content Harmony, Emily has produced and promoted highly specialized content for e-commerce and technology organizations. In her past agency experience, Emily specialized in content marketing for entertainment venues and festivals with deep expertise in email and social. Emily graduated with honors from Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, where she earned a Bachelor of Business Administration. So welcome, Emily and Emily.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Before we start with all of my questions, I want to know, what do you, too, I'm not going to say younger, but you are younger, people know that I don't know about the state of marketing and the importance of creative online content. I don't get what this is all about. Emily Harris?
Well, people have probably always wanted to believe that marketing doesn't work on them. And in that respect, it isn't much different today. Millennials especially favor authenticity in both their products and their marketing, and that's where content marketing comes in. This has been said a lot, and for good reason, but content marketing is about building trust and relationships with potential customers. Before someone tries your product or service, they want to have some sort of connection with you. That could be something informational, like a how-to guide. It could also be entertaining, like an interactive quiz or fun article. I think the best content is a mix of the two, like an interactive style guide or a fun but informative video, podcast, or radio show. Kind of like Car Talk on NPR was a great example of a show that was funny, but also informed their listeners, and that's what made it so popular.
And Emily Critella?
Well, for me, marketing is storytelling. And storytelling is one of the oldest forms of communication we have. So it's a way to promote yourself or your services by creating genuine connections to the people who would benefit from them. So while the avenues that we have for telling our stories have changed and continue to change, the basics of storytelling remain the same. And so if we can think of marketing as storytelling and as a helpful way to communicate with audiences, that's the best way to kind of go over the new marketing channels and focus on what's really important to your audiences.
So, Emily Harris, tell me a little bit about your journey to this present incarnation and what schooling do you have? And also, why are you attracted to this field?
Well, as a kid, I read everything I could get my hands on. I started writing creatively stories and songs at a very young age, often challenging myself to write about specific topics and forcing them to be interesting. I think that forcing myself to write about different things really helped me professionally in the long run. I went to college in Nashville, Tennessee, at Belmont University, and while I was there studying music business, I started this blog called Nashville for Free, which I created because there weren't any resources in Nashville dedicated to showcasing free events. As a college student, I didn't have a lot of money. I thought other people would be interested in it. I basically polled some friends, and we started this website together. It really took off, got some great press, and amassed something like 30,000 followers on Twitter. I wasn't really selling anything, but it got me interested in digital marketing. It also got me a lot of attention. It taught me a lot about learning who your audience was and managing writers. I had other writers on the blog who thought that it should be very focused toward college students, but I pretty quickly realized that half of our readers were young parents who were looking for things to do with their families. They didn't want to read about free shows and bars. They wanted to read about family-friendly festivals on lazy Sundays. So when I graduated, I made a point to incorporate that experience into marketing for my agency's parent company as well as my clients. I also found that there was this field called content marketing, and I built a role for myself around that.
And Emily Critella?
Similarly to Emily, I've been writing my entire life. When I was a kid, I would be holed up, you know, writing stories. I had a newspaper for my neighborhood growing up, and I always knew that writing would play a major role in who I am. So when I went to the University of Connecticut, I majored in both journalism and English just because they had to do with connecting with audiences and storytelling and writing. And I didn't really know exactly what I was going to do with them until I graduated and became a copywriter at an advertising agency. Loved marketing, loved creating those real connections with people. I moved into the role of director of strategy at another marketing agency I worked in. And while I was there, I realized that many of our clients were too focused on tactics, basically the how they were going to communicate. They wanted to create a viral video or a new website or a brochure, but they were ignoring the most important part, and that was their story and how they were going to connect with their audience. And without a good story, all of those other marketing tactics fall flat. So I decided to start Cursive Content Marketing, and we help our clients create and share stories that their audiences love, really going back to the fundamentals of storytelling to help people create an authentic relationship with their customers and their prospects. And I found that it's a really fulfilling way to approach marketing and communications.
So is this elusive thing called marketing all writing-based? Is that what marketing is all about, Emily?
Marketing is about building brand awareness and attracting new customers, and it can be absolutely anything that does that. It can be ads, publicity, blind taste tests, blog posts, social media, postcards, magazines, mailers, sponsorships, and more. It really is only limited by your own creativity. And Emily has a journalism background, and there's a reason that journalists make such great content marketers. It's because it wasn't drilled into them, this product placement, these numbers, necessarily as much in college. They were allowed to sort of dig into those stories a lot more. And then the marketing becoming the second thing that they learned that they kind of added to their toolbox, it gives them a more natural, organic base that allows them to connect with potential customers in a very different and very real way.
So, Emily Critella, what are the different types of marketing?
Well, like Emily said, it really covers everything that you do to promote your products or services. I would say that advertising is probably the most well-known type of marketing because everyone can recognize it. It's purely promotional. You're promoting what you have to offer on television, in print, or on the billboard. And there's also advertising online. You can advertise on social media. You can advertise on websites. Content marketing is a little different. It's a way to attract and retain your customers by providing them with really useful content. So you know their challenges. You know what they need help with. You know what they love. And you create content to help them and to answer their questions and help ease their pain points. You become a trusted resource, and they then look to you when they need a solution or when they need to make a purchase.
So how do people start this process? What do they have to begin a relationship with you and to start driving the message to the general public?
I think I can answer this. First, you need to know your audience. You need to know how to speak to them and what and how they want to hear from you. Arguably, I think the simplest way to get started, and this has been written about in books, on blog posts, but make a list of the 20 most asked questions that relate to your business or your field. Take each of these questions, answer it in a blog post, a video, and a podcast. Now you have 60 pieces of content that people can watch, read, or listen to, whichever they prefer.
And Emily Critella, what would make people stand out in a crowded field of any number of products?
It would definitely be to have a strong story. Like Emily just said, you need to know your audience and you need to know what they're interested in. And then you need to know what your brand stands for and how that story can benefit your audience. Creating really great content that's extremely, extremely focused on a specific audience instead of trying to cast a really broad net to see, you know, how many people you can attract in various different fields and different pain points and different interests is not the way to go. You want to be extremely focused and be the best resource in your industry. You know, don't strive to just create mediocre content and create as much content as possible. You really have to be trying to produce the best content that you can.
So if both of you are younger than I am, how do you know what I want? How do you learn what another generation that you're not part of is going to most respond to? Emily Harris?
There are a lot of resources. There are organizations that sell personas, and a persona is taking a group of people and putting them into different smaller groups, people who have lots of things in common. That's one way to do it. I personally really love talking to people. I think that you should talk to your fans, talk to your potential customers, ask them what they like, get as much one-on-one with them as possible. If you can't do a lot of one-on-one surveys, I've always liked doing surveys attached to a prize that's very much related to what my clients do on a daily basis. When I work with festivals, we do short surveys, and then we would give away a pair of tickets or a VIP experience. It's very focused on people who would be interested in your brand versus a giveaway like an iPad, which everybody wants, and everyone's going to enter that contest. You might not get a lot of actionable information out of it. But when you talk to people who fall into a certain group, when you talk to your colleagues who are older or younger than you, that gives you a lot of information on how different people talk, how they like to take in information, and what kind of things they like to share.
And Emily Critella?
My answer was going to be pretty much along the exact same lines. You really have to talk to people. Try to get on the phone with them. You can even join social media groups and get involved in conversations if you can't get on the phone with them. So on LinkedIn, on Facebook, there's a variety of ways to get connected to your ideal audience. And just start helping, you know, start asking questions, start answering questions. You'll see the questions that are being asked. You'll see those challenges that people are having. But it's really about connecting one-on-one with people. And so you can't just picture this group of people that you're communicating to as a massive group of numbers. You want to think of them as individual people with clear needs and names and issues and real jobs and kids. And you want to know as much about them as possible so that you can make your messages relevant, even if it's not about what you're selling or what you're promoting. You want to just be that resource for that person.
I would just like to say being a resource is probably the most important thing you can be, and just push the idea that content marketing is not hard push marketing, it's pull marketing. And those are very different things. You're not trying to sell people things they don't want. You're trying to educate them. You're trying to entertain them. You're trying to build a relationship with them so that when they do need that thing that you provide, they think about you first.
I think I still have to reflect toward both of you for this, because I do feel generational. As much as I know about the internet, and as savvy as I know that I am about the entities that I've worked with and for, I still feel like, for both of you, I'm sure this was just an integral part of your growing up. Technology, being online, using cell phones. And so, again, I'm going to ask you the question, what do you know that I don't know? And can you really push my buttons market-wise? Do you really, if you know my demographics, for example, do you already have a sense of what you need to do to get my attention or get me to buy something or go somewhere, Emily?
Well, I would think about the way that you already are consuming content every day, because you're also consuming marketing. So do you go on Facebook? Do you read magazines? Do you watch TV live or on demand? Because during all of those activities, you're being marketed to. So as long as you know what types of things that people are using every day to communicate with their friends, their family, for work, be that email, websites, then you'll be able to market to that person. And there's a lot of data out there for generationally what is more popular from social media. You know, Facebook is a more popular platform for baby boomers and Generation X, while the millennials and even younger, it's more Instagram and Snapchat. So it's mixing that market research with the experiences that you have with your clients every day. And it's really just thinking about the way that you're consuming content on a daily basis. And if you're marketing to someone who's in your own age group, they're probably doing the same thing.
Emily Harris?
I would agree that if you're marketing within your own age group to people who are very similar to you, you probably are just naturally doing the right things because you are reaching people the way you would want to be reached. So it is a little bit harder I wouldn't call it harder, it's just about educating yourself for people who are outside of that target audience. And I'm not sure that age and generation even necessarily varies automatically. I don't think how you market to people should automatically change depending on their age. I think it's a little bit more dependent on the product that you're trying to sell and your target consumers, because there are women over 40 who are extremely savvy, who still work for tech companies, who are constantly trying to learn new things. And if that's the kind of person you're making the attempt to reach, then maybe you should lean a little bit more heavily on the digital side. If you're trying to reach someone who is a big NPR listener, maybe it's not so much tech-focused. Maybe you want to donate your product to a membership drive or work with local personalities who are within that age group, influencers who are there. So, I mean, when I go and I look at who I'm trying to market to and how I'm trying to reach them, for me, it depends a lot more on the product and the person using it. Is this person a stay-at-home mom, or is she a young professional? Is she a young grandma, or is she an older first-time mom? And that ultimately, I think, changes things a lot more versus strictly, okay, we're advertising to women over 40, so this is absolutely what we're going to do. It can change so much depending on where that person lives, what that person does professionally, and what you're trying to sell.
We're talking today with two women marketers about the changing nature of marketing and the impact of the internet on this field. Do either of you feel like technology is going beyond your own grasp? Do you have any sense of the younger generation coming up and they're having gotten some skill that if you don't keep up with all of the changing nature of technology, you are going to fall behind? Emily Harris?
I do. I have some cousins who are quite a bit younger than me, and I see how active they are on platforms like Snapchat and Instagram and how they basically ignore Facebook. It's not interesting to them. So it is important to keep in touch with these younger people for the younger platforms, but learning these platforms, that's not necessarily the hard part. I mean, anybody can learn these new platforms. I really believe that. It takes more time to understand what good marketing is, what good content marketing is, how to appeal to people. And if you have those strong building blocks on just understanding your target audience, and for agencies especially to do the research for different target audiences, if you have a strong foundation, you can translate that to different mediums. I personally worry more about organizations like Google completely changing their rule book every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That takes more time to learn and relearn and adapt to than, oh, well, kids are on Instagram now, we need to put our content there.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I see a lot of clients get really stressed out about is when there's something new, and it's that shiny object syndrome, and it's like, oh no, now the kids are on Snapchat, we need to be on Snapchat and WhatsApp, and we need to be on there. And what I like to remind them is that you don't need a Facebook strategy, you don't need a Snapchat strategy per se, you need a content strategy. You need to know what your story is and how it's important to your audiences. And once you have that core story, then it's about using the right channels to communicate that story. So it's not about, you know, coming up with these big new ideas for what you're going to say and how you're going to reach people on all these different channels. It's about looking at your story first, making it really strong and really appealing to your target audience, and then seeing how you can use these emerging channels to your benefit.
And do you ever feel waylaid by the younger generation coming up behind you and knowing more than you do?
Oh, of course. You know, I just recently joined Snapchat because I was just hearing so much about it and looking at the way that brands are using it to create stories and to connect with younger audiences. I definitely think it's important if you're in a marketing space to stay aware of what these different tactics are. Not necessarily that you have to use every single one to tell every single story, but it's important to just stay up to date on what's happening and how people are communicating, especially if, like I am, you are working with clients who are marketing to younger audiences. I work a lot with independent schools and higher education, and they really need to know what the best ways are to get their messages to the younger generation.
So there used to be an adage that it was really a woman's decision and a woman's choice to purchase something, buy something, follow something, belong to something, and that their men or men in general would follow behind them. Do you try to market mostly to women, or is it a pretty even playing field? Emily Harris?
From the research that I've seen, this is still, to an extent, true. Women are still the primary purchasers in a lot of households. And I always want to represent women in my advertising. How much depends on the product. If it's an e-commerce site that mostly sells women's clothing and children's clothing, of course I'm going to market primarily to women. If I'm selling a social media analytics software, I'm still going to represent women in that campaign because I know many professional women who use the software. It's a fairly even divide, I feel like. I have a good example of this, of keeping women in mind. In my previous position, I was working with a beer festival that was owned by a beer magazine, and I was tasked with creating a social ads campaign for them on Facebook. And I was shocked to see that in previous ad campaigns, they only targeted men. Only men were seeing their ads. And this seemed ridiculous to me because I know lots of women who very much enjoy beer, enjoy going to beer festivals. Even if they don't drink, they like to go. They like that social aspect. So I said, how about you let me take a small portion of this ad budget and allocate it toward ads that are only women? And they said, oh, well, we haven't seen a lot of great success with that in the past, so you could try it. And I did. And I created these ads toward women, featuring women in the images having fun. And sure enough, these were our best-performing ads. The client was shocked, but they'd never really worked with a woman before running their ads campaign. Their beer magazine, most of their employees and most of their readers were men. They just never thought to, and they saw a lot of success from it.
That's a great story. So, Emily Critella, how would you market for women over 40? Since this is a show for women over 40, what would you do differently for women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s? And what do they not get that any number of younger generations get right off the bat?
Well, again, like Emily talked about before, I like to look at audiences more segmented because women over 40 is a huge group of people, and I think that there's lots of different audiences within that. So I think the more focused you can get with your audience, the better. I think that it's important because we are always talking about content marketing and digital marketing, that content marketing is not just online. You know, content marketing is using content in a lot of different forms to tell your story and connect with your audiences. So traditional marketing is still important, you know, print marketing, you know, magazines, television, things like podcasts that are online and social media, that's all part of it as well. So I think it's having a mix of media that is appealing to the group that you're trying to target, depending on what you're trying to promote. It's, again, I know we keep talking about it, but going back to understanding your audience really well, understanding where they're finding their information, where they're looking for answers, for their questions, for their challenges, and making sure that you are providing good content where they're already looking.
But Emily Harris, everyone knows that print media is on a decline, and radio ads are virtually never listened to the way they were 10, 20, and 30 years ago, and television ads are given in rapid-fire succession that a lot of people walk out of the room. Is there still room for these other types of media to enhance what online can provide your clients?
People talk about print media dying, but when there's less of it like there is now, that just means that if you go that route, you're going to stand out. I've worked with clients who we've gone down, we sat down in a meeting, and we've brainstormed, like, how are we going to stand out? How are we going to stand out? And we walk away with, let's send people who bought last year a postcard. Let's send them postcards with a discount code or something like that. And we see a huge response rate for these things because people don't get them every day. It feels a little personal, and they're not just like, sure, maybe you get your mail and you throw it on the garbage, but you're going to see that postcard in there. It's not this big junky thing, and it's addressed to you, and it's, you know, hopefully has some good art on it and something that you want. And as far as women over 40 and what they don't get, I don't think there's anything that women over 40 don't get per se. I'd be wary of anyone telling you otherwise, especially not in a way that would really affect marketing to them. Women over 40 vary so much. If you're 40 years old, you still came of age in the 80s and the 90s. And there was still a lot of technology then. Maybe you didn't have email until after college, but you still use these digital channels professionally for years, and you've seen them evolve.
What are some of the measures and the ratings that you use that you can name, which give you info about how you're going to approach your clients? Are there benchmark rating systems that those of you in the business know about?
Well, the nice thing about marketing online is that you can measure everything. From very, very simple Google Analytics, you can see how many people are viewing your website, clicking on your pages, filling out your form, everything like that. If you're marketing online, you can track who clicked on your ads and where they came from. You can track people through email. You can see who's opening which messages and what actions they're taking. Well, in the past with general advertising, you were just kind of casting a big net and hoping your audience was in that net. When you are marketing online, it's much easier to measure. Even if you're thinking about social media and doing advertising there, a lot of the social platforms have analytics and insights built in that you can see. So measuring used to be a lot harder. Now it's almost like you're almost too inundated with information. You can know a lot about your audience and what actions they're taking to engage with your content online.
And Emily Harris, are things like Gallup poll and Arbitron ratings and things that were very visible to us of an older generation, are they still utilized?
Honestly, I still use them. I use them especially in that initial research for how I'm going to message to people and where I'm going to go. Because things like Gallup poll can still tell you things that maybe Twitter won't. Like, how many people are on Twitter who are of a certain age? What is the gender breakdown between these two things? It's something that I use as a strategist, maybe a little bit more often than one of my writers who just creates content. Mm-hmm. But often they're using that research to create better content on their own or to build tools that rely on stats more.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking today with two women marketers about the changing nature of marketing and the impact of the internet on this field. Emily Critella can be found at www.cursivecontent.com, Emily Harris at www.contentharmony.com. Thank you so much, Emily Critella and Emily Harris, for joining me today.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
And to you, the listener, I'm Sema Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. And until next time, I hope you take care.